Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, there is a God in heaven. First of all, Miss Lizzie is back. Lord have mercy. You don't miss the water till the well goes dry. You don't miss the milk till the cow goes dry. And also, Sister Nancy and the Bitter Ender here, thank God Almighty, because I am just dry as a Sahara oasis has gone dry. And they're going to take up, is there going to be this hour here? I have no clue what they're going to talk about and really don't care, because everything they've ever done is just excellent. And I'm just so glad they're here and I love them so much. And so with that, I'm going to shut the hell up. And I guess since Sinister Nancy is the elder of us three, I guess we'll defer to her. Plus, she's a lady. We'll just say, Sister Nancy, you and the Bitter Ender, our dear brother Gene, y'all take it away and do y'all's thing, because I'm out of here. I'm just going to bring y'all in and out of the breaks.
I hope you're not going to announce my birth date.
Hey, only as long as you come in and punch the clock on time. But if you don't,
I am going to tell you that.
My birthday is the 25th of this month. Yeah, that is my birthday. Okay.
Yeah. And she was there in person to hear Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, and she was the only one in the audience that booed him. Yeah.
Yeah. I threw a shoe at him.
Good for you.
He put her in one of them prison boats out in the harbor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we're going to the lineup that Gene and I talked about is actually going to be somewhat the comparison between what happened to the South during and maybe after the Civil War, and also compared to the horrible treatment of the Germans during and after World War II. But I'll start out with our regular agenda, which is tar and feathering, and I've got three special people. I just heard that Nancy Pelosi is going to run again at her age. So about age, we're going to have antique leaders, that's for sure. They're all going to be over 80, maybe over 90. And also we want to, again, tar and feather with a lot of hot tar. This Jewess, Victoria Nuland, which is now going to Africa to stir up trouble down there. And I want to give a special load of dirty, filthy, foul feathers to my Kentucky governor, Andy Beshear, who's running for re-election. And at some point, I want to talk about some of the negative things that he has done. The number one thing was to close down churches on Easter and have the police come and take down the license tags of those people who attended church on Easter, all because of this so-called COVID emergency.
God Almighty.
And that's what he really did. He actually did it, and of course, we're trying to... I'm afraid that he will get reelected, but I would like to... I hope he... he's actually running against a black conservative, Daniel Cameron. I'm going to have to support Daniel Cameron. But and I'll mention that four people I think we could put on the heroes list is that wonderful representative from Louisiana, John Kennedy. I absolutely love to hear
classic.
Him.
He's classic.
He is fantastic, absolutely fantastic. They can mock him, but they cannot defeat him in his sense of humor and sense of what is right and wrong too.
One of his best quips. If I can throw this in for John Kennedy, Senator Kennedy, he was saying, and this was a couple of years ago, he said, Biden's polls are going down faster than a fat man on a seesaw.
That's straight up Louisiana.
He's got a million of them. I mean,
oh, he does. He's great.
Them.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Really,
I wanted to put a John Kennedy-ism in there.
And then I'm calling him a representative. You're saying he's a senator. Maybe he is a senator. I thought
he was a senator.
He may be. Anyway, okay. Another hero is a prime minister we talked about last week, Viktor Orban. I think he's one of our heroes. And two of
oh,
the
sure,
third,
sure.
Two
From
of the
Hungary,
third,
yeah.
like, two of the Third Reich's men who I just think were fantastic was Otto Skorzeny and Leon Degrelle. Those are some of my heroes.
Oh, man, what's talking about?
Fought on the battlefront of the fought in the Eastern Front, and Otto Skorzeny was the mastermind who was able to get Mussolini off of the San Sasso Mountain Hotel prison where he was being held. So, and Otto Skorzeny did a lot very secret and unusual things during the war, and he was involved in, actually, I think they did something that would have been called a crime. Well, there were a lot of crimes that we committed, but he dressed up some of the Germans as Americans, I think, in their last battle on the Western Front. But anyway, those are just some of my comments. And I did send a greeting card to Alfred in prison, and I would encourage others to do the same. I mean, anybody that you don't have to know him personally to give him encouragement. You may say that it's a short term. He's only in for 6 months. But nobody's going to enjoy being behind prison walls for even a
Hell
day.
Hell no.
I went one day to visit with a friend of mine. Her son was in prison. And I can tell you one of the scariest things that ever happened to me was to go into prison and have those bars closed down behind me and to think, here I am. What would it be like if you could never escape this? It'd be horrible. So anyway, go ahead.
It'd be like living in the Biden administration.
Maybe.
Folks, I'm not proud of it, but I was there for 3 days one time right before I got drafted. And I'm going to tell you what, it weren't fun, because if you ain't ever been in the Memphis jail.
You're like Dr. Livingston in Darkest Africa, weren't you?
I'm telling you, and you know the food, I mean, a dog wouldn't eat that stuff. Well, I was in there with what they call the bullpen with some darkies, and I said, y'all want this crap? It was supposed to be cheese, I guess, but they ate it like it was manna from heaven. And I got in trouble. One of the guards came down because I got bored, and I was whistling some southern song, you know. And a couple of guards came down. They had these big clubs, and they were beating their hand. And I thought, well, this ain't good. And they told me to blankety blank shut the blankety blank up, they said, we're gonna do this the easy way, the hard way. I said, man, I'm what am I gonna do? So anyway, it worked. I was so glad my dad came and got me out of there. The hell of it is, I'll end this rabbit trail real quick. Like, the hell of it is, 10 days after I got out, I had to go get dear old Pappy out of jail. So my dear Pappy, they think I'm wild. They don't know wild. That wild SOB. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt that, but jail ain't, the moral of that speech is jail ain't fun, even for 3 days.
I'm sure it's horrible. And, you know, I want to pitch out just one other thing. You know, you were talking about this man who was a leader of the Proud Boys, got 22 years. I told you all, I was the only one that protested down in Brandenburg, Kentucky, he was a Klansman who was not present. He was not present at this so-called attack upon, I don't know, he was supposed to be Hispanic. The two other men were involved in some kind of attack on an Hispanic at a fairgrounds. Well, what do? They take in this guy who is a Klan leader to the Southern Poverty Law Center to actually destroy him. See, in other words, that's kind of comparable to what happened with the Proud Boy, who was not, the leader wasn't even present at the Capitol.
And
the same
wouldn't.
Way that they operated at Brandenburg, where they don't, the men who were involved in the fight were not the ones they were trying to destroy. They were trying to destroy the leader of this group, who was not even present. Same situation.
Well, that's the way a dictatorship works. You know, they have to go after the leaders of the opposition, people that speak up against them, and destroy them whatever way they can, whether they're a presidential candidate or, you know, just leaders of any group. Well, it's like what Rich and everybody's been talking about in Charlottesville, the Antifas and the BLMs that went out and physically attacked people, nothing happened to them. They went after the people that led the right, you know, conservative people on the right that had a permit to be there. And they were the ones that got hauled in and drugged through the so-called court system, so-called judicial system, which is a joke in this country. And the whole attempt was to shut up anybody that's in opposition to the liberal dictatorship that we have. So, and you know, we're going back to this, to what happened to Germany after the war, of implanting it in everyone's mind. You don't stand up to the liberal powers of the West, the mighty Western dictatorships. They talked about Hitler was such a horrible dictator, and that's why we had to go to war against Hitler, and oh, we had to do this, and now everybody that stands up to the liberal dictatorship, they're another Hitler. Trump's another Hitler. George Wallace is another Hitler. Everybody's another Hitler. And that's just a stamp they put on everybody. And
that's right. That's right.
You know, and it's so ridiculous when you sit down and actually look at the history of what actually happened, not what we were told. Because as a little boy, you know, the war, the Second World War hadn't been over that long ago. And I used to like to watch that documentary, Victory at Sea, and
oh,
had
yes,
all those war films and everything. Great music. Mm-hmm. Richard Rodgers wrote the music for that. And as like first grade, second grade stuff, I used to watch those. I think it came on Friday night. I'd watch that all the time. And, of course, I thought our guys were the heroes. And then the more sure. I've read recently and studied what actually happened and what the other side, what the Germans actually said, I've realized we were just lied to and propagandized. And if you ever, and I've had a historian one time that said, if you ever want to find out what really happened, read the account of the losing side in the war.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We'll be right back then after this break, folks. Be right back, folks.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
A Venus is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio fam, we're going to go right back to Sister Nancy, Big Sister Nancy, and she's going to lead us off. And I know the Bitter Eater himself will be chiming in. He's always just a walking computer. He used to be an encyclopedia. Now we got computers with disks full of the information.
I can't make computers work. I stay away from them. I don't get along well with electronic stuff. They're like animals. They can tell when you don't like them, and they know I don't like them, so they don't work in a store, in my office, anywhere. So I don't get along well with computers.
That's why we have people like Miss Teenage America, Miss Lizzie, on, because she's the one that does
oh,
all
gosh,
that
yeah.
for people.
She's
people like old Paw Paw. But anyway, go ahead, Sister Nancy.
Go ahead.
Where are we going to go from here?
Well, I was going to talk about it. Instead of talking about Hitler, of course, that's on my list, too, but I wanted to go back to Mussolini briefly. Last week, I came up with a quote from a book called The Rise and Fall of Benito Mussolini, and I wanted to see if anybody could guess who spoke those words, and of course, nobody came up with it right away. I think what I was going to read to you is something also that came. My great-grandfather was a medical missionary in India, and so I have collected everything that was connected to his service, but he was there in 1893 and 94. There was a missionary publication that talked about the lepers in India, and I have it filed under Mussolini, because here in 1929, this is was in this missionary pamphlet. It says, Mussolini does not drink. While remembering that such men as Hoover and Lindbergh do not drink, the ardent patrons of the bootleggers may be interested in reading the following from the autobiography of Mussolini. And, quote, I do not drink, I do not smoke, and I am not interested in cards or games. I pity those who lose time, money, and sometimes all of life itself in the frenzy of games. As for the love of table, I don't appreciate it. I do not feel it, especially in these last few years. My meals are as frugal as those of a pauper. In every hour of my life, it is the spiritual element which leads me on. Money has no lure for me. The only things that are good for us are those which identify themselves with the greatest objects of life and civilization, with the greatest interest and the real and needed aspirations of my country. I am sure of my strength and my faith. For that reason, I do not indulge in any concession or compromise. I read without a look over my shoulder by foes and those who cannot overtake me. I leave them to their drink. I leave them to their demagogic transgressions. End of quote. So this is again, now maybe he is... maybe he's saying, you know, blowing up some of his own past, but we do know that Adolf Hitler was certainly ate very frugally and did not drink, did not smoke, did not advocate smoking. There again, these are just little clips of life that we've learned so little about anything except Mussolini was a pig, he got hung. Hitler was no good. He was a stinker. He killed himself. You know, all of these things that we have learned from youth, there is more. These people are more than one statement. They're more. They are actual human beings who, in many cases, lived and were very literate people. So that I just wanted to bring that up.
And they were dedicated to their country. They hadn't sold
Absolutely.
Their country out to big corporations in China or somewhere else, not China back then, but that's what they do today. They sold out to Chinese communists. And we have a leader, that a so-called leader, well, I'll say an occupant of the White House. I wouldn't glorify him calling him a leader, that sold out to all these fake corporations and things and took money from all these countries. And yet, you know, people like Mussolini and Hitler, they were dedicated to the German and the Italian people, and that's who they were struggling for. And
that's right.
So many lies have been put out in propaganda about Germany. And going back to our original topic, Southerners can understand that. I mean, the United States government has been lying about the South for 165 years. Even the name of the conflict that we fought, they call it a civil war, like we were trying to overthrow the federal government, and we weren't. We were just trying to leave. It was a war for Southern independence. And of course, they'll never call it that, because that means the United States government put down an independence movement. And that makes the U.S. government look awfully evil. But it is a great comparison between what happened to the German civilian population during and after the war and the reconstruction that's gone on in the South from the end of hostilities in 1865 to 2023, tearing down the monuments, renaming the military bases, trying to get rid of the Arlington Monument, and the same thing that the Germans had to go through. They had to be re-educated in reconstruction of Germany and, you know, always put them on the stool of penance for what happened and when they defended their country. And that's really what I see is the parallels between the German civilian population that came under attack by the U.S. military and so many things that they did, like the firebombing of Dresden and Hamburg, and then the Yankee artillery that elevated the guns and fired over the Confederate fortifications around Charleston and used the church steeples as aiming points because they knew every pew in all the churches in Charleston were used for wounded civilians and wounded Confederate soldiers. And they even bragged that if they could get the roof to collapse, it would take out all these doctors and nurses that were taking care of the civilians and the wounded soldiers in the churches. And they did the same thing in Vicksburg and Atlanta and Petersburg and Richmond and on and on and on, and Jackson, Mississippi. The list goes on forever, and what they did to civilians. And
you know, it's interesting. People say, well, now, Nancy, how come, you know, you're still interested in the war, and how come, why all this animosity? I said, look at the facts. Who wants to destroy Southern monuments? I mean, it's not the North. It's not us going up and saying, well, let's take down Northern monuments, especially they're all over battlefields, all over the North and the South. No, it's the Northerners are still full of hatred towards the Southerner. And
absolutely.
Reconstruction means nothing. That was a joke. I am glad to hear it looks like there is a slowdown on the removal of the beautiful Arlington reconciliation statue. There looks like there's some hope that they will not tear it down. But that is, who knows? Who really knows? But I get messages from a group that is trying to defend that monument, and it looks like they're, it's odd. Some of the people who are against it, I thought, were good conservatives, and they want this monument removed.
Oh, you can't trust good conservative
Hell
Republicans.
No.
Now, that Kevin McCarthy signed on with, I think it was 60 something Republicans, to have all of the Southern statues removed from their whorehouse on the Potomac. Some people call it the Capitol. I call it the whorehouse on the Potomac.
Oh my God!
But
yeah.
They wanted to get all the, you know, each state was allowed two statues in there. And, of course, a lot of the Southern states put Lee and Jefferson Davis and those individuals as one of their two statues in the rotunda of the Capitol, in the Capitol building. And now they've taken a lot of them down. I know they've removed some of them from Florida, Edmund Kirby Smith and some of those. And McCarthy was right there with them, you know, a so-called conservative. And the conservative Republicans are just as worthless as the communist Democrats when it comes to trashing Southern history and Southern heritage. So I don't know who you can turn to. You were talking about the governor in Kentucky. We got a turncoat governor in Tennessee.
Yes, we do.
Willie Lee. And he spoke to SCV members when he was campaigning for governor, and they flat out asked him straight to his face, will you protect our Confederate monuments, and will you keep the statue of General Forrest in the state capitol? Oh, yes, sir, I will. I'll do that. So we all went out and voted for him. He got elected, and the lying rat wasn't in office 6 weeks until he started crawfishing and got rid of the Forrest statue out of the state capitol. And, you know, so lying means absolutely nothing to them.
I think the one that surprised me on this list that was, I guess, against the Good Amendment was Mike Burgess of Texas. That was one. It looks like he was against
Sister
the Good
Nancy,
Amendment.
We have to go to a quick break. We'll hear that music. We'll be right back to you right after this break right here, Sister Nancy. Hang on, folks. We're going into a quick break, but we won't be gone long.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm John Schaefer. A Pennsylvania prison is firing a tower guard who was on duty during the escape of convicted killer Danilo Cavalcante. The corrections officer with 18 years of service at Chester County Prison is being let go. Authorities are continuing their search for the 34-year-old Brazilian native who managed to escape over a week ago. The case involves the coordinated efforts of nearly 400 law enforcement personnel, including both state and federal agencies. Following recent shootings in New Mexico, including the death of an 11-year-old boy outside a minor league baseball stadium this week, Governor Michelle Grisham Friday issued an emergency order suspending the right to carry firearms in public across Albuquerque and the surrounding county for at least 30 days. It applies to open and concealed carry in most public places from sidewalks to parks. The governor said she expects legal challenges to the emergency order. Violators could face civil penalties and a fine of up to $5,000. Former President Donald Trump is reiterating his belief that the legal challenges he's facing are a result of Democrats' attempts to thwart his return to the White House.
You know, if I was in third or fourth place, or if I wasn't running, I'd be living the life of Raleigh. I wouldn't be here with you tonight, but I'd be living there. I'd have nice houses all over the place. I'd be living a beautiful life. They wouldn't indict me. They indicted me because I'm in first place.
Trump suggested that his strong polling numbers in the Republican primary and even a hypothetical general election against President Biden may be prompting Democrats to use legal means against him. President Biden is wrapping up discussions at the G20 summit in India. In their concluding statement on Saturday, global leaders advocated for a fair and lasting peace for Ukraine, yet they refrained from directly censoring Russia for its incursion and instead emphasized the importance of respecting territorial boundaries. This is USA News.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-215-2418. 800-215-2418. 800-215-2418. That's 800-215-2418.
Here at Blood River Radio family, I certainly thank you for hanging on. God bless the people we have tonight. God bless little Lindsay, little Lizzie, and sister Nancy and brother Bitterinder. God bless them. They're making this show go on, and they're really, really not only making my life easy, they're helping all of our people out there. We're trying to do the best we can for our beloved white race out there. But, you know, Sister Nancy said before we went to the break, she said somebody asked her, well, Nancy, why do you still care about that stuff that, you know, the war about Southern independence is so long ago? Well, I would say one of the reasons she cares probably is because the same bastards, their progenies here amongst us to this day, not only do they hate the people in the South, they hate all white people just about all over the world. And that's the people you see that are over there trying to attack Russia from the Ukraine, using them as a proxy enemy. That's the same people that bombs the hell out of anybody that goes against the great Zog on the Potomac. So, that's what I would say. The same, your great grandchildren are here amongst us. But anyway, go ahead, go back to y'all. I forgot who was talking last.
We're gonna go to Gene. I think Gene wants to talk about a book that he's been working on.
Oh, well, no, I'm not working on it. I didn't write it. Our good buddy Rich, our fact checker, gave me a book. It's called My Father, Joachim von Ribbentrop, and it's written by his son, Rudolf. And he, von Ribbentrop, was the German foreign ambassador under the National Socialist Party in Germany. And this book should be required reading for anybody that gives 1 ounce of interest in actual facts of of pre-World War II. And it tells how many times it gives the dates, who he met with, what the conversation was of how many times von Ribbentrop, the German foreign ambassador, met with the British ambassadors, the French, and the Polish ambassadors trying to work out some kind of peace solution for Europe in the 1930s. And he was turned down every time, or he was lied to, and they'll stall, and we'll have to check for this, have to check for that. Finally, he came to the conclusion, and says so right here in the book, that Churchill had no intention of having any kind of peace with Germany, that Churchill wanted Germany wiped out as an economic adversary, not as a military mm-hmm. power, simply as an economic adversary. And I read that, and my jaw just dropped open. I said, you know what I mean? That drunken SOB Churchill and his partner in the U.S., that crippled old Frankie Roosevelt, they were willing to sacrifice the lives of thousands and then millions of people just for economics. And the military had nothing to do with it. It was economics. And mm-hmm. that's why they wanted to, some kind of excuse to go to war with Germany. And I thought, good gosh, you know, for people that would do something like that, you talk about war criminals. The war criminals were in the United States and in Great Britain. They were the ones that told Poland to keep attacking the German people in that Polish corridor, that part of Poland that was taken away from Germany after World War I, and provoke some kind of incident with Germany. And the leader of Poland at that time, and I've forgotten the name, I hadn't written it down, but he was stupid enough to go along
book,
with it.
Book or something. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he was stupid enough to go along with that to get a war started so that they could jump in there. And then, of course, the Germans went into Poland just for that section of the country, and the Russians came in from the east, and yet Britain and France declared war on Germany. They didn't declare war on Russia for taking over the majority of the country. And then at the end of the war, the Allies murdered von Ribbentrop. They had him executed.
Wow.
Because if all of these notes and everything, these copies of these letters and meetings that he had with these foreign ambassadors from England and France, and even with some of the representatives from the United States, and how many times they had attempted to negotiate a peace, a peaceful solution, then it would show that the whole war was a fabrication from the get-go. So they could not allow him to live. So he was accused of war crimes and murdered by the Allies after the war to mm-hmm. shut him up so he couldn't talk. And you know, it's really sickening to see what happened like that. There's one other thing that I'm trying to get hold of. I subscribe to that the Barnes Review, in the Politically Incorrect Guide to History, is their subtitle on the magazine. It comes out six times mm-hmm. a year. Mm-hmm. And one of the articles listed in there and gave the dates of how many times the Germans tried to negotiate a peace treaty with the English before mm-hmm. the war started mm-hmm. up to September of 1939, and how many times the Germans tried to negotiate a peace treaty after that. Say, look, we've taken care of the German people. We'll get out if the League of Nations will send a police force in here to protect the Germans that are left in this area. And, of course, they turned it down and declared war on Germany. So there's so much of that information that has been hidden from us, and so much propaganda that we've been fed and garbage and things like that. And that's why, going back to what we said earlier on, I see so much similarities between the German civilian population and the Southern civilian population, and how both countries were treated before, during, and after the war. And people always say to me, well, you're anti-American. You're anti-American. You don't support the American. No.
Glad they noticed.
I'm anti-American government. I love the American
yes.
people, especially the Southerners and our land that we live in, and the people that we, our friends and relatives that live all over the South. And we've got a lot of friends in the North that stand up for it. They see what's going on,
and a lot of them
say that the South was right to get out of this rotten garbage pile. And
the Europeans,
so it's not the
actually. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's not the people. It's the government that's so corrupt and so rotten and suckered us into a war in 1861 1898, 1917, 1941, and, you know, they lied about the Gulf of Tonkin, and my generation was suckered into that war over there in Vietnam. So it just, every generation has been played for a bunch of saps to go right. out and lay their life on the line for these, I call them the rich bastards north of Richmond. I think that's not quite yes. the title of the song, but that's how I've interpreted
that's close enough.
What they've done
you
to
know,
us.
Two of the things that stand out to me in the study that I have done about the World War II, two things that have been totally ignored is the importance to the Germans of the amputation of their country in 1919 due to being forced to accept the Versailles Treaty. All mm-hmm. of this formulated, all of this issue was created by the forcing of the German people who were suppressed and starving by the British boycott. They were forced to sign the Versailles Treaty, which amputated their country into many different sections. I think it cut off maybe as much as a third of the country. That was they say that is where Hitler was born, at the Versailles Treaty. The second thing, which people do not understand, the Germans were very well aware of the fear and danger of the Jewish Bolsheviks because they had been... there had been turmoil because of the horrible starvation in Germany. The Bavaria had been taken over by the communists. The Germans were fighting communism. Let's face it, that is what they were fighting. They were not fighting to take over the world. They did wanted to take back those amputated lands in which many of their German people were being persecuted in Czechoslovakia and Poland and Yugoslavia, those areas that had been amputated. Those are the two issues that have been totally covered up, and those are the two motivating reasons why Hitler had to act.
Well, that was another thing that came from this book on von Ribbentrop. Hitler and the Germans were trying their best to get an alliance with Great Britain against sure. the Soviet Bolsheviks.
Right.
And Hitler said, we will make Germany a buffer between the Bolsheviks and Western Europe. And we need the British, we need an alliance with the British because of their navy. They can control the Baltic Sea and the oceans, and we'll control the land and stop this spread of communism and the Jewish Bolsheviks and moving in and taking over all of Western Europe and instead of just Eastern Europe, which... You know, Roosevelt and Churchill turned around and gave him at the end of the war, and Yalta agreed to that, to turn over all of Eastern Europe. So I always laugh at that thing. Oh, World War II was the war to preserve democracy.
End all wars? Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, yeah, World War I's the end all wars. That didn't work too well.
Let me ask you.
Make the world safe for democracy. No, right. it was the war to make the world safe for communism. That's what... Came out
that's right. That's who won the war. But let me ask you all if you know who Churchill's mammy was.
She was a Jew.
She was an American Jewess, Jenny Jerome. So Churchill was half Jew. Some people say Roosevelt had Jewish blood.
That's what I've heard too. Sister Nancy, we'll go right back to this subject as soon as we get up from that. Come back from this break.
This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we were in this is the last segment of the last hour. It's really gone fast. We had a great conversation during the break with the Bitter Ender, and we mentioned that and this was pointed out when we did a thing on Dresden about 4 years ago. If you notice, not only Germany attacked Poland, but the Soviet Union did too. So if you don't mind, Bitter Ender, take off on that and tell people what we're talking about during the break about that.
Well, of course, the Western countries weren't going to declare war on Russia. That was their ally. They were so adamant about keeping Germany from becoming an economic power, they would have signed an alliance with Satan himself to fight against Germany. And so they knew that Stalin was a murdering butcher, and you know, they estimate between 22 and 30 million people were killed in the 1920s and 30s by the Bolsheviks, which makes the Holocaust seem like a Boy Scout picnic compared to those numbers. Even if the 6 million were true, but that was somebody that they could use to fight against Germany, and they were kind of hoping Germany and Russia would knock each other, just beat each other to death, like 15-round heavyweight battle, and knock each other out. And then that's why Roosevelt had so many communists and Jews in his cabinet and in upper levels of the American government that they were pulling his strings and trying to get him involved in a war against Germany. And Nancy had mentioned this earlier, this book about Hitler's declaration of war on the United States, because the United States had declared war on Japan and Japan was an ally of Germany. So Germany was pulled into the war against the United States. And our buddy, our good friend, had given me a copy of that book. It's 38 pages, and it was presented to the Reichstag. And they said it took about 80 minutes for Chancellor Hitler to present this. But out of those 38 pages, 16 pages describe all the things that Roosevelt did in 1939 and 1940 to try to provoke Germany to declare war on the United States before 1941. Mm-hmm. And we weren't in the war. We were supposedly neutral. And then Congress had passed all these neutrality acts. Roosevelt ignored them. He ordered American ships to fire on German ships, German submarines. We were selling war materials or giving war materials to Great Britain and to Russia. And, you know, it was a total violation of the laws in this country.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, yeah. And so he was trying to poke Germany enough times that the United States would be drawn into this war against Germany. And he admitted that to some of his closest subordinates. And the Germans wouldn't take the bait. And Admiral Rader was just hopping mad about what the American Navy was doing to the German Navy. And Hitler told him, well, we can't. It's a setup. They're trying to set us up. We can't retaliate. We just have to take it until it gets too bad. And then the war started with Japan, and Roosevelt turned down every peace offer that the Japanese had. He would not negotiate with the Japanese ambassadors. They were trying to negotiate a way to get out of China. That's what they wanted. They got bogged down in a war there. It was a lot bigger than they thought. and they came to Roosevelt to try to mediate peace between Japan and China, and Roosevelt wouldn't do it because he figured if he could get a war with Japan, he could get his backdoor war with Germany. That's where he wanted the war to be, and that's what he said. When it started, all of our supplies and munitions and airplanes and tanks and everything went to the war in Europe, and the war in the Pacific was pretty much left to just to the Navy and the Marine Corps to fight that war in the Pacific. So the whole the emphasis was put on the war in Europe, and just, you know, what was left over was sent out to the Pacific. So once again, these are just some more of the lies that have been brought out by factual history and what's been done to us. And I don't know. It really has changed my attitude a lot, reading about the war and the facts that went on there. And once again, like we started out with this hour segment, the comparison between the lies and misinformation about Germany and the lies and misinformation about the South and the Southern people took place here before our war for independence, during the war, and then from 1865 to 2023, all the lies and the different phases of Reconstruction that the South has been forced to go through, and this, what they're doing with the monuments and all the attacks on everything Southern, changing street names, names of buildings, military bases, and what have you, that's just another phase of Reconstruction. It's just they've cranked it up a notch or two. They kind of turn down the volume when they need Southern boys to fight a war for them. And then after the war is over, they slap you in the face and say, okay, rednecks, you go back down there. We'll take over from here. We'll tell you how rotten you people are and what traitors you are to this country. Yeah, but we had our boys in the Spanish-American War, World War One, World War Two, and Vietnam. And that's how we get thanked for supporting the Axis of Evil Empire in Washington, D.C. So
that's kind of the same thing that we did with the Rhodesians and South Africans who fought in the Second World War. Of course, we decided to destroy those two countries. So that's the kind of payback that they got.
That's what you get from the United States. Yeah.
That's right. Well, Lee was able to foresee what would happen with this country because he had experienced their cruelty. And he could foresee that we were going down, after the war was over, that the next step would just be tyranny, that we would be a bully and a nation that was trying to take over other countries, like we accused Germany of wanting to take over the world. That's basically what we have been doing to the Middle East and other countries. Even when you talk about the Spanish-American War, that was another false flag, another land grab, take over the Philippines, take over Puerto Rico, take over Cuba, all those countries that we just wanted to take over. And we don't want other countries to usurp their island lands that are close to them, like China. But we're opposed to that kind of action by other nations, but we can pull all the dirty tricks out. And I want to mention that little book that you talked about. It's called The Great Tragedy, Germany's Declaration of War Against the United States, Hitler's Reichstag speech of December the 11th of 1941. I advise that everybody should, this is just a little publication, it's a, you know, less than 40 pages, but it has pages and pages of the actions that were taken by America, Roosevelt, basically, to start a war with Germany, and Germany took it, accepted it, and did everything they could to avoid a war with America. There were all kinds of things starting in 1939 that we were maneuvering German ships, passenger liners. We were trying to maneuver them in so that they would be taken over by the British. So our hands are bloody, absolutely bloody.
Oh, absolutely. You know, every war that's come along has been, you know, and starting way back in 1840, I think it was at 46, 48, war with Mexico. That was started by the United States as a dispute over where the southern boundary of Texas was going to be. They could care less about that. They wanted to take California because there were already rumors coming out of California and Arizona about gold and silver deposits in those two Mexican states. and the United States wanted to take those over so they could get the gold and silver out of California and New Mexico. I mean, Arizona. So, yeah, that's every. It seems like now, looking back on it, every war we've fought, it's been for some false flag issue that enabled us to go jumping in there and jump on these, smaller countries or weaker countries or countries that we could ally against and put them behind the eight ball and take whatever we wanted from them. So anyway.
We practically destroyed the Middle East on behalf of the Jews. That's all.
Yes.
People don't realize that. You know, we've got Afghanistan, Iraq. Now we're in Syria occupying the oil fields. We destroyed the country of Libya. We tried to probably get involved in Egypt because they are a barrier to Palestinians actually. So what they're trying to do is, what I think we should do, you talk about reparations. This country owes all those Middle Eastern countries to rebuild the countries we bombed into oblivion.
Exactly.
Sister Nancy, one item here, Rich, two items. We talked about during the break, Eisenhower was Jewish. Matter of fact, in the West Point annual, they call him the Swedish Jew. I've been told his mother was Jewish, just like Sister Nancy said. Churchill's mother was an American Jewess. Mm-hmm. And if you know, the Soviet Union at the time of the war was straight up Jewish. So it looks like that the entire Jewish world was really against Germany. And this is the last item. Rich just texted in. He says that, and this has to do with what y'all talking about, England was preparing to bomb from Iraqi air bases Soviet oil fields for attacking Finland up until Germany invaded. He says Germany used Russian oil to defeat France, so there you go. Y'all are totally right. The war stinks to
high heaven. No good Eisenhower, and I remember him running
stinking
for
Jew.
Election. When I was a kid. I like Ike. I remember that, how stupid I was to think that Eisenhower was even a gentleman. He wanted to kill 100,000 German officers after the war. This is what they were planning to do. They wanted to annihilate the German people and the German military. Of course, what they did under Eisenhower was actually to kill maybe over 1 million innocent civilians and military by doing the same thing we did to rename the military soldiers as displaced, whatever, displaced civilians or displaced unarmed people, put them in camps and let them starve to death where they had no cover at all in the winter, limited food. This is what that no good scumbag Eisenhower did, and people still think he's one of the greatest.
That's what Jews do. And you mentioned, going back to your friend who asked, why are you so interested in the Southern War of Independence? Because the same damn people that did it to the South are the same damn people like the Jew Eisenhower who tried to kill millions of Germans.
Yeah, they had them in an open barbed wire large encampments, and they would actually shoot German civilians that were trying to throw loads of bread over the top of that wire to feed these prisoners of war that were starving to death. Or I think what Nancy said, what was that term? They called them misplaced persons or displaced persons or something like that. So they weren't covered by the Geneva Convention in treatment of prisoners of war.
We did that at Gitmo. That's those people down there.
They call them disarmed enemy combatants. And, you know, we're so proud. Monica Schaefer and Alfred Schaefer, their father, fought in the German army. He survived one of Eisenhower's death camps. Well, dear bitter ender, dear Sister Nancy, we're totally out of time. I'd like to thank you two people for coming on. Thank you, Miss Lizzie. Thank you, Monica. And thank you, Rand. And thank you, Blood River Radio family. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I will see you same time, same place next week. God bless y'all. Good night, everybody.